walk from Winterset to Greenfield, it's long. It's like 30 miles. So I had to break it into 2 days. First part was on Highway 92, busy. I was really happy to get off that and end up on gravel. And it was a total of 42 miles walked in 3 days, and I'm pretty sore, yeah. My point person in Winterset, Jean Walker, she's been socially and politically active her whole life, and she's been great about lining up contacts for me, and also dropped me off at the halfway point between Winterset and Greenfield. Yeah, here's my conversation with Jean Walker.
Well, here I am at the Adair-Madison County line, and having a chance to talk with Jean Walker. Jean, what are your thoughts on the condition of America's democracy?
Wow, that's such a big question. Of course, I'm very, very worried. Just one thing after the other since our current president came into office the second time. Just every single day, there seems to be something that's an assault on our freedoms and just chipping away at our rights. And it seems like the whole point is to keep thinking of things every day that will make our lives harder.
And do you think some of the initiatives he's undertaken are having an impact on people in Madison County who might have supported him? Maybe some of them are starting to say, well, that's not what I voted for.
Yes, I definitely do. I mean, I know people who voted for him that are now struggling more with groceries and gas and things like that, that they expected would take an immediate downturn. And of course, I, you know, personally knew better than that it would be that way. But yes, I know people who are already suffering somewhat and regretting, but having a hard time. I also know people who won't admit that. So, you know, I guess more and more people have to suffer and be hurt.
And you mostly associate with the folks in the town of Winterset, which is a city of about, what, 5,000 people. Mm-hmm. But do you have much contact with folks in the rural part of the county?
I know a few farmers pretty well. And just in general, there is a lot of worry and concern right now, that's for sure. I can really feel it and see it.
And is that mostly because of the tariffs and the impact on soybean prices?
Right, exactly. That's very concerning. Something that folks who supported this current administration didn't expect to happen.
What do you think people listening to this program might take away from our conversation in terms of what they can do to make a difference?
I feel like all of us who are concerned, and hopefully that'll be more and more people, need to stand up, speak out, be brave. It's time to be brave and say how you feel and what you think with respect. Not getting into name calling or participating in all that ugliness, but just standing up and speaking out for what's right.
Great. Hey, thank you so much, Jean. Folks, talking with Jean Walker here in, well, actually literally at the Adair-Madison County line.
My host in Greenfield is Jay Howe, who put me up for the night. And I've known Jay since 1987. He also organized a nice get-together at the hotel in Greenfield, a renovated hotel. And there were about eight of us there. And there was a fellow in the back, you know, he wasn't really part of our group, but he seemed to be listening. So I went up and talked to him afterwards. He's from Missouri, and I had a very good conversation with Jim Thacker.
All right, hey, I'm in Greenfield talking with a man from Missouri that met here at the Hotel Greenfield. His name's Jim Thacker, and Jim, welcome to the conversation.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And you've got a military background?
I do, yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, I spent several years in the Army. I first went in 1985, and in 99, with some trouble I had, I was kind of medically released. And then when 9/11 happened, I went back in and served again until 2013.
You've got a bit of a walking history, too. That's kind of what united us in conversation. And I was very, very impressed with your reason for walking.
Well, I went in the military trying to do medical work. I'd already been to school, already been certified. Everything was good. And the Army has a way of changing your mind sometimes, and instead I ended up in the infantry and went on as a military sniper and a sniper instructor at Fort Benning, Georgia.
Okay, and then you, in part, maybe related to that work, you developed concern about kids with asthma.
I did.
And took a walk to raise funds and awareness to help kids with asthma.
Yeah, I actually, my older brother, when he was a child, was a horrible asthmatic. And he was a really good football player, all-state football player 2 years. But the problem was every Friday he would have asthma attacks. And we thought forever it was because they cut the grass on the football field. And come find out that wasn't the problem and that it was cottonwood blowing through the air in the fall. And I learned that once we identified his trigger, then we could get him through a whole football game without using his inhaler or getting shots at halftime or something else. And so later on, when I was working for a hospital in Lexington, Missouri, I decided to do a walk across Lafayette County, Missouri, where Lexington's located. And I was trying to think of a catchy name so that people would donate to it and I could buy asthma equipment for the kids in public schools there. And so I came up with Walking for Wheezers.
I love that. Let me ask you this, too. With your background in the military, what are your thoughts on President Trump sending the National Guard to cities like Portland and Memphis and Chicago?
I don't like it, and I don't think that is what the National Guard or the military in general is for. You do swear an oath to defend the country against all enemies, foreign and domestic, but I would hesitate calling American citizens domestic enemies. And so I'm not a big fan of it.
And some observers have said that he's eventually going to try to cite the Insurrection Act and allow the federalization of the National Guard to be used in all kinds of domestic capacities. Thoughts on that?
Well, I've heard that, and you read different things, and at times he seems like he's not going to, and then at times he kind of brings it up almost as a sidebar in some of his conversations. To me, I feel like he is trying to surround himself with people who are like-minded, like him, that just agree and will push the button on anything he says, to include, you know, going against the Constitution, going against things that have been established as norms in the United States. The United States right now, I think, is a broken country. If you travel abroad, you realize that it's been a broken country for a long time.
How do we fix it?
I don't know. I'm not a politician, and I'm not smart enough in politics to know that. But I think we start off by honoring the Constitution and by realizing that when the Constitution was written by the incredibly intelligent and brave men that wrote it, they had no way of knowing there would be such a thing as AI or, that everybody in the country seemed like would own a gun or things like that. They didn't look that far ahead.
Nor could they have.
Nor could they have. They had no idea. It's like I can't sit here today and tell you what technology is going to be available 200 years from now.
I'm a little afraid to find out. Well, I won't be around, and neither will you.
No, I don't plan on it. If I am, no one will be more surprised than I am.
Jim, thank you so much for joining us.
You bet. Nice to be here.
From Greenfield, I had I'm going to call it easy, 10-mile walk to Orient. Easy because it's a lot shorter than 17 miles, a lot easier. And my host there was Pastor John Van Nostrum, and had a good conversation with him as well.
I'm here in Orient, Iowa, with Pastor John Van Nostrand, and we just had a great time in Corning. The town has done an amazing job at beefing up its main street and all kinds of great stuff there, including a wonderful restaurant.
Yes, the Primrose. It's been there for 7-8 years. It's superb. Their slogan is big city dining in small town Iowa. It's perfect. I've never had anything bad there, Ed.
Yeah, it's that's an apt description. So you're a pastor here at a church in Orient, Methodist Church. And what would you say is what is the feeling among your congregates about the the condition of our country right now, what some of us see as a slide toward authoritarianism. What are your thoughts on that?
The people I've talked to over the years, regardless of who's in power or what party's in the White House, I think Orient people just want some confidence, some security, some future that small town Iowa, let alone small town America, still has a viable future. They still want it to be a great place to work, raise a good family, and have some fun at the same time.
And do you think they see the Trump administration as helping or hindering that dream?
Well, being you know, Iowa, southern Iowa, you know, heavy agricultural economy, yeah, I think there is some concern with how the tariffs will affect agriculture.
Any other concerns? How the administration is handling immigration, for example?
Well, not necessarily immigration. I know Vice President Vance has made references to families having more kids. You know, population loss in western Iowa, southern Iowa, it's an issue. So it's good that Vance, you know, is encouraging families. And fortunately, I've had two baptisms so far this year in my church in Orient.
And that's not a lot.
So, it'd be great to have some support for, you know, some family, you know, the tax breaks, whatever can be done to encourage families to stay and thrive in southern Iowa.
One thing that's been remarkable to me is the prevalence of wind turbines here in Adair County. What I've heard is that there could be as many as 450 turbines in one county, and it is astounding to see them. There was a lot of controversy around wind turbines in years past. What's the local demeanor toward them at this point?
Okay, I wasn't here when the turbines first were installed, but the impression I get now is, okay, we've got enough. Let's move on. And I know there's some surrounding other counties in southern Iowa where they're just getting them for the first time or they're expanding them. And I think people are trying to find that happy balance. Mm-hmm. How much is enough and where can we put them so we still think we don't, every time we turn around, we're going to see one.
Of course, Trump is no friend of wind turbines.
Correct. That is true. That was one of the first things he did after he got into office. He made some statements about that. Yeah, you are right.
Is that making any impression locally where people are kind of accepting them at this point?
Well, I think they were already here long enough. Whatever Trump said, it was really wasn't that important. Yeah. They're already here. They're up and running. So, yeah. And we're here until the companies don't want them to be.
Well, John, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure, Ed.
John Van Nostrum, folks, a pastor here at the United Methodist Church in Orient.
Well, that's days 9 and 10 of the Save America March. This is Ed Fallon.